Good day, everyone. Welcome back to Dreams Warp, the podcast designed to awaken you to a new reality. For today's episode, you know what day it is. It's Tuesday, and that means it's time for Tuesday Taoism. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode. Hey all, before we get into this, I just need to allow a quick word from a sponsor. Thanks for your patience. All right, let's go ahead and get into this. My name is George, and if this is your first time here, first I want to say thank you for checking out the podcast. The purpose of this podcast is to explore the mind and the depths of consciousness which create it. Ultimately, the podcast is here to help you gain a sense of mastery over your reality and your life by mastering the mind. So if that's something that interests you, you have definitely come to the right place. And if you find the content of this podcast helpful, I hope that you'll consider sharing it with others. Now, we have a few series here on the podcast. We have our Tuesday Taoism, we have our Zen stream on Sundays, and then I do try whenever possible to throw in an extra episode, here and there, related to a topic maybe having to do with manifesting, mental health, relationships, meditation, mindfulness, basically anything and everything that could help you reach your goals, achieve your dreams, just live an overall happier day-to-day life. So for today, like I said in the intro, it is Tuesday, and we are doing Tuesday Taoism. For those of you, again, who are brand new here, Taoism is a philosophy. Some might call it a religion, but it's more like a philosophy based on a book called the Tao Te Ching, written about 2,500 years ago, give or take a few hundred years. It's written in ancient China, and it is a book that I first picked up as a teenager, had a tremendous impact on my life, and I returned to it, here and there throughout the years, and it's always been a source of just amazing information, wisdom, just for living, really, and managing this mind that we all contend with in our heads. So, like I said, it's written a long time ago, so it's been translated hundreds, if not thousands, of times. And depending on which translation you read, depending on the author, you can get very, very different meanings or translations from the original text. And this particular translation I'm reading from is by a gentleman named Stephen Mitchell. I have read a few translations, and I always come back to this one. This happens to be my favorite of the ones I've read so far. Who knows, I may discover another one in the future that I like more. But this is a really, really nice, I really like this translation. What I do is I read one little chapter from the book every week and discuss it a little bit. The chapters are very, very short. And today we are up to chapter 59. And I'm gonna read it here to you. And like I said, we'll discuss it a little bit. Hopefully we'll get something really good out of it for today in our practice. So this is chapter 59, Tao Te Ching, as translated by Stephen Mitchell. For governing a country well, there is nothing better than moderation. The mark of a moderate man is freedom from his own ideas. Tolerant like the sky, all-pervading like sunlight, firm like a mountain, supple like a tree in the wind, he has no destination in view and makes use of anything life happens to bring his way. Nothing is impossible for him. Because he has let go, he can care for the people's welfare as a mother cares for her child. And that's the end of the chapter right there. Told you, very short. Wow. It's funny because reading this, I cheated, okay? I've read this book, like I said, a lot of times, but I did read it just before I started recording today's episode, just, get an idea of what it would be about. But I usually do that only, like I said, 5 minutes before I start recording. And really the first thing that appeared in my mind is he or she, whoever wrote this, is doing, there's, by the way, there's a lot of you know, debate on if this was written by one person. I know the story, hermit in China, I know all that, but there's nobody knows that for a fact. We're talking thousands of years ago, and there are many who believe that it was actually written by a collection of people, so I'm not here to debate that. But whoever wrote this, what I was going to say a minute ago about my first impression, was that whoever wrote it did an incredible job of describing qualities of what I think would be an individual who is perfectly aligned with the Tao. Now, as I've said here many, many times, there's no direct translation of the word Tao in English. Some people do translate it as the way, which, you know, I guess is okay. Not really perfect, but it's okay. It's really describing the dance between, as I've said here before, things that have already come into existence and the source out of which those things come. So to get real, I guess, concrete on you, it would be sort of like the physical world from, you know, the spiritual world and the dance between the two, okay? And, you know, that's in a sense, depending on your own beliefs, your own background. To me, that's kind of what life is all about, is understanding that relationship between what we contend with in our day-to-day life, practicality, and the ideals which exist that are beyond this physical world, the source, God, you know, whatever you want to call it, universal consciousness, you know, take your pick. But it's the dance between the two, the movement between the two. And if you want to really, really, really get a little bit, you know, pervade this a little bit deeper, you can still say that even the appearance of those two is in and of itself a delusion, because we create duality based on our sensory perception and in our brain, how our brain operates and how it interprets sensory information. Ultimately, there is no duality, as I've said here many, many times. It's just our subjective experience that creates duality. And so we, for sake of communication, of practicality, and of getting ideas across, we talk about the manifested or physical world and the spiritual world, but in ultimate reality, they are not separate at all. The manifested is the spiritual, and the spiritual is the manifested, okay? But again, to get practical here, we talk in terms of duality to communicate, right? To get ideas across. So just wanted to put that out there. I guess you could call that a little bit of a disclaimer. But when we read these chapters in the Tao Te Ching, many chapters such as this one basically paint a picture, so to speak, of a person, a woman sometimes. And I think it's very wise how the author here switches pronouns. You may have heard in other chapters where he refers to the master as she, and others where he refers to the master as he. So he does that on purpose. In this one, he's using he. But what the book does, what the chapters do, is it, like I was saying, paints an amazing picture of a person, he or she, that is aligned perfectly with the Tao. So in a sense, when the Tao Te Ching presents us with these words, with these ideas, what it's doing is it is pointing us towards characteristics that that are an example of someone who is aligned with the movement of the universe, the Tao, okay, the way. And this particular chapter just does such an amazing job of describing this ideal, this person, okay, he, she, an entity who is perfectly aligned with the Tao. So by reading the way that he describes the personality aspects of this person, we are not getting only suggestions of the types of characteristics you want to embody, but also we are hearing more descriptive words telling us more about the movement of the Tao, okay, the movement of this universe, and some specific examples, right? He says here, he says first, moderation, right, which connects to the Buddhist ideal of the middle way, right, is that we the more we shift into extremes, which I think I talked about last week's Tuesday Taoism, the more we are solidifying duality, right? The more we are, in other words, the more we are slipping into the delusion of duality, the more you slip into extremes. Because extremes, by their very nature, by definition, is moving further and further away from the middle way, right? So moderation, we could say, is another way of describing the middle way. And he says here, he says, the mark of a moderate man is freedom from his own ideas. I'm going to come back to that in a minute because that's probably my favorite line in this whole little chapter. But he goes on to say, tolerant like the sky, all-pervading like sunlight, firm like a mountain, supple like a tree in the wind. Very, very clear descriptions, characteristics. So we could talk about these individually. Tolerant like the sky, what that brings to mind for me, something I've shared here and there a few times, is when often we are doing meditation, we are in a sense observing thoughts, and not just thoughts, but observing patterns of thinking and emotional reactions to those thoughts. We are observing these, and we, the old metaphor of the, like clouds, right, that they pass by like clouds in the sky. And we, as we do that more consistently, we begin to understand that no one cloud is really who we are, and we don't have to be so reactive to one particular cloud, to keep running with the metaphor here. We are actually much more, our nature, our consciousness is much more like the sky, the space in which the clouds can simply roll by. So when he uses that line here, tolerant like the sky, that's what comes to my mind for me, is that the sky, really consciousness, makes no judgment about a particular thought or a particular emotion. It experiences it. It doesn't fight it away. It's not like a dark cloud passes by in the sky and the sky says, "Oh my God, this cloud is so ugly. I hate this cloud. I wish this cloud would go away." Right? It doesn't do that. It doesn't even react. At the same time, when a beautiful white, you know, cloud comes by, it doesn't say, "Oh my God, that cloud is so beautiful. I hope it doesn't ever leave." Right? It's not as reactive. So we see tolerant like the sky, all pervading like sunlight. And I really like that too, because the image that comes to mind for me there is this idea of how sunlight hits everywhere equally. We, and sometimes you hear people in law of attraction circles talk about how the nature of this universe is abundance, right? Where you see that everything always, it's a rule, general rule of this universe, that things, all living things, all have this innate survival mechanism. It's kind of like a very deep level programming of wanting to expand, wanting to continue living, wanting to increase in complexity, wanting to, again, the word is expand, to become more and more abundant. That seems to be an underlying nature of the way things operate in this universe. And so when we see all pervading like the sunlight, it's hinting that same sort of movement, is that it doesn't make, the sunlight doesn't make judgment of where it's going to shine more or where it's going to shine less. It shines equally everywhere all of the time. And then he says, firm like a mountain, and in the same sentence, supple like a tree in the wind. And I just love that image of supple like a tree in the wind, firm like a mountain. And here what this makes me think of, which maybe you've heard before, I know I have, is that if you have a real firm tree that cannot bend when a strong wind comes, right, it could break the branches, snap, the tree can fall over. Whereas you see a tree like a palm tree, which can bend and sway, it's very, very firm, but it's also flexible, right? So he's, again, describing the characteristics of this person, of this personality, that he stands firm, but yet he's flexible. And interestingly, what we're also hearing here, again, is a paradox, right? We talk about this so much in this book, because he constantly, gosh, I would say 80, 90% of the chapters, points to paradoxes. He describes things in a way that it's like, here's a perfect example, saying firm yet supple, right? Those two, you would think of them as being far from each other in terms of again, dualistic view. So firm is over here, supple is over there. But he says in this chapter that a person can both be firm and supple. And it's interesting how when you are able to be flexible enough, right, then it seems back again paradoxical that the more you're able to be flexible, the more solidly you can stand. Again, it's paradox, but it points to a truth that we can feel. Now, I want to go on, talk about the next few lines, and I want to go back to the freedom from his own ideas line, but just let me pause here for a quick sec and allow a word from a sponsor. I'll be right back. All right, thank you for your patience. I'm back. I want to take a quick moment here and tell you that if you ever want to get a hold of me, ask a question, make a suggestion for a future episode, express a concern, you can always email me at elucidatethereal@gmail.com. Or you could look up my YouTube channel by the same name, Dreams Warp. Find any one of my videos, just post a comment under it. Say, hey, I just heard your podcast, had a comment, question, concern. I would love to engage with you there in the comments section of the YouTube channel. Also, very recently, I opened up a Twitter account. I do post and retweet things there almost daily. And it's good to see those and get little reminders throughout the day, focusing on your practice. So definitely follow me on Twitter. If you're enjoying this content and you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, it'd be great if you could take a moment and leave a nice rating and a review. That would really help out the podcast. So thank you for that. Now, let's get back into this. So where we left off is we describing these characteristics: tolerant like the sky, all-pervading like the sunlight, firm like a mountain, supple like a tree in the wind. Then he goes on to say, he has no destination in view and makes use of anything life happens to bring his way. Nothing is impossible for him because he has let go. He can care for the people's welfare as a mother cares for her child. I find it very interesting. I don't even know if interesting is the right word, but it's very potent, maybe is a good way to put it, very powerful, the way he ends it with, as a mother cares for her child. And because that type of care, I guess is a good way to put it, that type of care and that type of feeling of your parent out there, mother or father, you know that you would give your life for your child, right? You have given up, in a sense, your own desires, your own destination, your own direction. To a certain extent, you would do that for your child. And he uses that phrase there to, again, point back to this ideal, this amazing ideal of a person who is perfectly aligned with the Tao. Throughout the Tao Te Ching, you'll often hear other descriptions when he's talking about the movement of the Tao, of how the Tao constantly gives itself up, and that is why it endures forever, right? Other lines where he says the master, you know, has no mind of his own, right? Uses the mind of the people. So what the impression that we get here is he's talking about less focus on self, right? And of course, as we've talked about here before, self is, again, in a practical sense, we use it, the ego, on a daily basis to function, to communicate, to get basic needs met, and to be a part of this society, right? But in ultimate reality, and we talk about things of a spiritual nature, we know, probably if you're listening to this, I'm sure you would agree that the self is ultimately a concept, right? It's not, there's nothing real that you could point to and say, this is the self, right? Even in our language, we find that limitation apparent when you say things like, you know, my body, my arms, my legs, my thoughts, my feelings. Well, who is speaking, right? Who is the self? What is the self? That is a question that you really try to dig into in a practice like meditation, like Zen Buddhism, is what is this self that is you know, pointing, talking, reasoning, rationalizing, what is this consciousness, right? It's something that is a question that constantly comes up. But we do know that the more we hang on to and solidify this illusion of the self, right, then that often invites more suffering. It doesn't mean that the self is an enemy, and I've said this before too, that the ego is something you absolutely have to completely get rid of, and it's terrible, and it's evil, and it's no. Again, that's a slipping into extreme point of view. And as we move toward moderation, as he describes in this chapter, or the middle way, we see that the ego, much like other thought structures, is a tool, right? It's simply a tool. It's something that we can use, again, as I said a minute ago, to function, to communicate, to work in the society, to be among others, to get along, and that's fine. But there comes a point where when we want to, like it says here, align with the Tao, align with the ultimate reality, or whatever word you want to use, align with the spirit, align with God, there is by definition a dissolution of the self, right? The self tends to kind of go into the background, and we realize connect to something much greater than ourselves. And this is, of course, what he is referring to here in this chapter, where he says he has let go, right? And because he has let go, he can care for the people's welfare as a mother cares for her child. Now, my favorite line, the mark of a moderate man is freedom from his own ideas. And it's kind of funny because I was just kind of starting to talk about that 2 seconds ago. Again, the thought structures, right? Something that we look at and observe in meditation and mindfulness and in Zen practice is we observe these mental formations. And we try, and let me say I here, I guess, because I don't want to speak for anyone else. I try to observe them as simply as what they are, which is nothing more than thought formations. And these thought formations consist of not only thoughts, emotional reactions, in some cases also behavioral reactions. So we have this kind of combination of thoughts, feelings, and behaviors, and we kind of use these tools, okay, these combinations of thoughts, feelings, and behaviors to manage our moment-to-moment life, right? We're all doing that all the time. The question becomes is how aware are we that those very patterns are, in ultimate sense, are not really who we are. They're simply patterns. That's all they are. They're sort of like if you look at a computer, right, and you program a computer to do a certain thing, the program is not what the computer is. You just programmed it to do that, right? But you could delete that program from a computer and install a completely different program, right? So in much the same way, the way that we interpret and react and cope with our moment-to-moment reality is subject to change, and it can be more easily changed the more we are able to create space between those emotional reactive, those thinking, feeling, acting reactive patterns that I've been talking about. So, and how do we do that? Of course, through our meditation practice, right? The more time you spend in meditation, the more time you spend observing those thoughts, observing those emotions, the more, as I've said here before, you start to create a lot of space around them. It doesn't mean you get rid of them, okay? And not necessarily. That having thoughts appear in our mind, having emotions appear, is part of being human. And most of us, I would say 99.9% of us, those types of thinking, emotional patterns have been repeating themselves for as long as we've been alive. So they're not necessarily going to completely go away. But the great thing is that we don't have to force them to go away. All we have to do is learn how to separate ourselves from them and see them for what they are, is that they are not truly who we are. They're just patterns that have been built into us over years and years and years. And the more that you can create that space That's what we come back to in this line. The mark of a moderate man is freedom. That's the key word. Freedom from his own ideas. Freedom from these patterns. Eckhart Tolle talks a lot about this in his book, Power of Now. Highly recommended read, by the way, if you haven't read it. But he talks a lot about this, is that we mistake those patterns for who we are, right? And he talks about in his book is that you are not your thoughts, right? And a lot of spiritual teachers have said that, not just him. But it's one thing to hear that and say, oh yeah, I guess that makes sense, as opposed to turning knowledge into a true living reality, which happens through practice, through the sitting meditation, through mindfulness. Over time, weeks, months, years, okay? Doing that over and over and over and over again, you begin to experience firsthand the freedom from those ideas. And that's what he's referring to here, in my opinion, when he says the mark of a moderate man is freedom from his own ideas. And that is by far the greatest freedom. So, Very nice chapter. I really like how he describes these characteristics of the person who is aligned with the Tao. I'd love to, again, anybody has any comments, questions, concerns, feel free to email me or post under one of the YouTube videos. Also, I would love feedback if anybody would like to provide any on the length of these podcast episodes. I don't know if you guys are, because I've noticed lately they've been getting a little longer. And I'd love to know, like, what's the ideal podcast length for you? You know, is it 20 minutes, 30 minutes? I see some podcasts out there almost an hour long, 45 minutes. Some are very short. So if you have any opinion on that, feel free to send it my way. And I do want to offer, by the way, I almost forgot, just a quick apology. The last podcast episode that I did, the Zen stream, the end got cut off. I had an issue there with my the phone that I record on. But you didn't miss much. At that point, I had pretty much just said, you know, thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you in the next episode. So you didn't really miss much there, but it did get kind of cut off, and I apologize for that. First time I think that has happened. So again, thank you so much for listening today. I really hope you got a lot out of this podcast episode. And stay tuned. I'll be back later this week with another episode for you. Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your day.